Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good sound check.
Oh, when will I ever not speak over it?
It's tradition now.
Why do we always forget to do the levels check? And the sound check is, they look fine. Yeah, they look fine. Yeah. Okay. Well, and I'm definitely not looking at them, are you? I haven't looked at them. Anyway, let's just hope for the best. We can always re-record, Lucy.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's going to happen anyway.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy V. Freeman, and our executive director, Cooper.
Our executive
director. That's a bit of a tongue
twister.
It's a tongue twister.
Yes.
Executive director, Cooper. Cooper, it's one of those, yes. You know,
red lorry, yellow lorry. Yeah.
Plucking. Yes. Yeah. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Rex wobbling about on Kate's roof, trying to stop the joyful compounds dropping on people's heads as they laid on second-hand sleeping bags while Kate wanged on about how hypothermia is good for you. But it turned out there was no one there anyway, as understandably they decided to learn how to enjoy cold weather by staying out of it and watching the rain while eating hobnobs. Jimus is Jazza's best man and seems to have a mortal fear of strippers. Rather than tying the groom to a lamppost and decorating his willy with silly string, Jimus would like to organise a lecture at the British Museum on Roman drainage systems and then go to a claret tasting at the Connaught. Over at Bridge Farm, Adam had come up with an amazing idea, an edible forest. People macheteing their way through some out-of-control courgettes. Madness! Pat was worried that Tom would be miffed that Adam had thought of it and not him, as Tom tends to have a monopoly on daft bloody ideas. Incidentally, we spent about 7 minutes listening to Pat tell Adam what a good idea it was. Were we short of storylines this week? Also, a listener request. Could we please avoid having Pat and Adam in the same scene, as I could feel the life draining out of me and I haven't got that much left. It was like being trapped in a PTA meeting. Adam pitched the idea of the edible forest, or fruit trees, as normal people call it, to Tom, with the air of a nervy apprentice quivering in front of Alan Sugar. He's not making any money out of it. His job isn't dependent on it. He's nearly twice Tom's age. Who bloody cares? Once we'd got through that, we then had so-called Maureen the Malingerer and her dodgy back to contend with. After some vigorous logging in the stockroom with Jim, she'd pulled something, which meant there was a sit vac, which Joy was desperate to fill. As Susan had violent objections to Joy, Jim's next suggestion was Alice. Better to be on the inside throwing bricks out, presumably. In fact, it's not often that when you're discussing someone's suitability for a job that it comes down to, well, at least that brick business is all over and done with now. Unless you're a builder, it's probably best if bricks don't feature in a job interview at all. Susan's relationship with the shop is like one of those National Trust volunteers who would clearly actually really rather no one visited the lovely houses and messed up the floorboards by walking on them. Jimus has suggested a series of volunteers for the shop, which Susan has turned down like a bedspread. Justin was the newest candidate, and I, for one, think he's perfect. The shop's outrageous pricing strategy, if Susan thinks of a number and doubles it, and its baffling bureaucratic methods are right up Mr. Howard Way's street. The big question is, why in the world would Justin want to do it? He doesn't like plebs, he doesn't like being in a servile position, and he only wants to do things in which he is the boss. Eric the Viking arrived, with a sexy voice, and a healthy and realistic total lack of respect for his older brother. Kate and Alistair were both wowed by his lack of similarity to Jacob. Kate, to such an extent, it made me wonder what she was doing with Jacob in the first place. So by Tuesday's episode, I was already rubbing my hands with glee, waiting for Eric to start pinching wallets, rogering Kate and drink driving. All that immediately became even more inevitable when Krusty asked him on a date to flop about with a load of dead fish in the am. Whenever anyone does anything fun with Krusty, it either involves an explosion, poisoning, slavery or screaming. So I really feel someone should stage an intervention and let Eric the Viking with his horny helmet know what he's letting himself in for. Mind you, he is Norwegian. as you can tell by his Romford accent, and they're quite used to both cold water and depression, so I may be worrying unnecessarily. Poor old Alan is going to be on the receiving end of a charm offensive from Kate and Lillian. Lillian's charm, Kate's offensive, presumably. I don't know if it's just me, but every time Alan speaks, he sounds increasingly like a man on the edge of a nervous breakdown and distinctly as if he is hiding from people. I mean, I do understand that vicars are regularly pursued around their parishes by people wanting to discuss everything from parking to whether or not God is talking to them through their bath mat, but it wouldn't surprise me at all to find that Usha is buried under the vicarage patio. And we ended the week with Krusty trying to kill Eric the Viking, firstly by drowning him in a frozen river and secondly through giving his longboat a thorough going over. Good for her. Maybe the river tide has turned for Krusty and it's no longer full of dead but glowing fish, but a smorgasbord of slightly overconfident Norwegians instead. The end.
Oh, yeah, I like the assertive Kirsty, don't you?
Yes, she's, like she's direct, like, isn't she?
I thought I was quite brave.
Yeah,
but then
me
good
too.
For her. She was just like, oh, sod it. I've had so much crap in my life.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you with the Viking Eric? Yeah.
And he's single. Like she said, you know, he's not connected to half the bloody village.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
He's connected to one person. Kate's not going to be happy though, is she?
Well, no, because this is. Well, I assume there's going to be some sort of ménage à trois situation, isn't there? Because otherwise, as you say, like, it's so obvious that, like, Eric brings out the best in Kate.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she was so likable and lovely this week, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She sort of lost, she really showed her soft, sweet side.
Yes.
And she sounded so happy.
Well, she
with
became
Eric.
An attractive person because normally when you listen to Jakob and Kate, you just think, why does he like her? Why does it? And everyone on Twitter says, well, she must be just brilliant in bed. That's the only reason why I can see anybody possibly fancy her.
No, but also we also understand why she's with Jakob because we didn't necessarily know that Jakob was the fittest man in the village before, did we?
Well, everyone sort of went when he arrived, but then they tend to do that with anybody that's not actually dead.
Are you Googling him?
No, I'm doing is I'm messaging because the dog wants to go out.
And, okay,
and the dog wants to go out and I can't let him out because I have got these things on my feet, which are... They are those things that you're supposed to wear. Well, you know when your feet go all like ciabatta?
Veruca socks.
Yeah, no. When your feet go all like ciabatta and they go all dry and... No, you just have sort of dry, wintry feet because they've been in wellies. In the last month...
Oh, foot rot.
Yes, no. Jesus. In the last month, I've fallen in the river once and in the ditch up to my knees twice.
With Eric?
Yeah. So, I think I've got trench foot or something.
Athlete's foot. So trench foot. That's the one.
That you wear these special socks, and they sort of dissolve all the dry skin. See,
oh,
and then
where does it go?
Nowhere.
Do you have to shake them out after?
Yeah. So you wear the socks for an hour, and then you take them off. My sister told me about them. And then you have a shower
like a Hoover bag,
and then
you just empty it.
And then in a week's time, you know, like when you've been sunburnt,
yeah,
and it all starts to peel off all the dry skin. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that's what I'm doing.
Are you sure this is safe?
No, because my friend
did
it.
Did you find it on the internet?
No, my friend did it and her feet were so slippy she fell down the stairs and broke her knee. So that's probably not a very good recommendation,
is it? Because it takes all the friction off your feet.
Yes, because it said baby smooth
baby
and she didn't
smooth.
Really believe
oh my God.
That. And then she went and covered it in body lotion as well to add to it. And then she got up to go to the loo in the middle of the night and just skated all the way down the stairs. And her boyfriend found her in a heap
at
the bottom.
It's not funny, but... God, have you got any marble floors just in case? Wow, I had no idea.
So I can't let the existed. I can't let the dog out because
Why
I can't move.
You let the dog
because
out
I've got these plastic. They're plastic like freezer bag things full of weird chemical on my feet. So I can't,
it's not like
move.
A veruca sock.
No, I can't move for an hour.
Funny.
I'm
can
going
you
to send you
please
some.
Please send
so
a
you
photo.
Can try some you can try them.
I don't know. It sort of makes me feel a bit. I don't really like
feet.
Feet. No. Well, I actually, funny you said that though, because today is the first day that I've been like, oh, chilblain season is upon us. Ooh. Because I get really bad chilblains on my toes and feet. Yeah, really bad. And it sort of starts now when the weather is, it's not heating up, obviously, but something happens in right. this time of year, clearly, because my chilblains start coming out. Ugh. And that is horrible and itchy. Yes. And if I put those bags on my feet, I think it wouldn't help.
No, it wouldn't.
It might exacerbate. It might take my chilblains off. And then they'd just, what would they be underneath? Like, I don't know, fire or something. Because that's what chilblains are. They're like fire on your hands and feet.
Did you do biology? I really don't think your school did it.
Of course I didn't. No, we did do something with pig strotters.
Okay.
But apart from that, I think that's why I've got a thing about feet.
Oh, I see.
Honestly, the pig strotters lesson left such a disgusting impression on me.
People normally remember dissecting frogs, don't they? That's what.
Yeah, we didn't do that. We just did. Because I tell you why, because the pig strotters had hair on their trotty bits. Yeah, it was gross. And it was all flabby skin. So sorry to draw comparisons to you. I'm not drawing comparisons to your feet.
I also have flabby skin and
do you have
hairy, hairy hobbit feet. Hence,
who doesn't have hairy toes, to be honest?
Hence the plastic bags. I will imagine I will be a foot model. One of those people.
What you could do. Yeah, that's what you should
do. Models for plasters. Mm.
You could do an Insta before and after story. And I could put it on the Shambridge Instagram. Yeah, because a bit of before and after goes down really well in the viral world.
Tilly bashed her foot the other day and sent me a picture of her foot to show me how bad it was. And I went, oh, that's horrible. She said, people pay good money for that on the internet. And I said, don't tell me. Don't know. It's disgusting.
Lucy,
well, no, I'm not doing.
Come on,
no.
Okay. You don't have to do the before, but you've got to do the after. You've got to, because I'm actually genuinely interested.
Get a load of foot pervs.
So if the doorbell goes now, you're screwed.
I am screwed. Yes, that's why I keep messaging. Because I'm messaging William to say. Yeah, and I'd imagine this stuff is highly flammable as well. So my feet, I'll go up like a firework, I should think.
Oh, my God. Not only did your boob set alight, now it's your feet. You're just flammable, woman.
I am. Yeah, I'm the Frank Spencer of podcasting. Anyway.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad now I've got a good picture.
Now
of
now you know what all the squelching about.
Now I know what the squelching is. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Not just the normal squelching, different squelching this weekend.
So they are Norwegian.
They are
Norwegian.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, they definitely are. I'm sure they are. Yeah, I remember him saying that. Having said that, I think Smorgasbord is Swedish, isn't it? And I put that in the monologue. Oh, never mind. Nordic.
No one's going to. If someone.
They'll write
you
in,
up
Harriet.
On that, Lucy.
They won't write in to you, will they? They'll write it to me.
We don't have an Ofcom type audience, I'm pretty sure. So that's a fact that I've learnt about Jakob. Also, I didn't know he played the organ. I must have not heard the Jakob episode that was his biography or
his
whatever.
His introduction, yeah.
Yeah. Did you know he played the organ?
Well, hang on a minute. He's called Jakob Håkonsson. How much more Norwegian can you get? Mr. Fjordi Fjordsson.
Jakob, couldn't Håkonsson easily be a Swede or Finnish name or a...
No, I'm sure he's Norwegian.
Okay, I'm 100% taking your word for it. I'm not...
But you didn't hear the
I'm
one...
I'm not disputing it. No, I didn't hear the Jakob CV episode.
Okay.
It seems like it was quite a long time ago when he came on board.
Yes.
But also, I missed that he played the organ.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I heard about
anyone
Jakob's
else at home has
organ.
Any fun facts about
Jakob.
About Jakob that
I didn't know he was
missed.
The best looking man in the village.
Didn't know he was transsexual.
Didn't know that. Didn't know his mother was Irish. I mean, there's just fact upon fact that I feel like I've really missed out on. So, okay, good, tick. That was my first question.
funny you should mention that, because Pat McClelland...
that sounds like a really scripted
yes,
link.
Yes, funny
there,
you should mention that, Eileen, because now crossing over to... Pat McClelland has literally just emailed us as you were talking and said, as you record the podcast within minutes of the Friday episode, this is, in the spirit of Kirsty, just a quickie. She knows exactly what she's doing. A swim in the chilly waters of the Am will have done wonders for the Viking sperm count.
Ooh.
So maybe she's...
I mean, it was quite a brave date to take someone on.
Do you know what? I was impressed that she even said to him, are you single?
Yes, me too.
Because I would have just asked leading questions until I decided, well, I think... And then I've messaged all my friends and said, well, he said this. So, I mean, would you think that? I think that means he's single. I don't know.
But if someone agrees to go cold swimming with you in the winter... They must like, but also it's such a, there's no way she would have asked him if she hadn't liked him. You know, you don't just meet someone and the next day go, do you want to do some cold immersion? Although I suppose he had done.
Do you want to take your clothes off on a riverbank with me? That's essentially what she's saying. And anybody sane says, no, I don't.
And then build a fire and we can just make sweet love in front of those licking flames. Did you know your brother plays the organ?
Would you like
me
to
play
yours?
About your organ? Yeah, exactly. Are you Norwegian? Have you got a smorgasbord? it was much more interesting than let's go to the pub and then let's shall we, shan't we?
I'll tell you what, it was much more interesting than Lily and Ardil. It was. To the point, there was no fannying around. It was not kind of, I don't like you because I do like you, because I don't like you, because I do like
Except
you. It was, get your kit off, are you up for it or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then the Lily and Ardil thing will presumably become a sweet relationship, whereas the Kirsty just hasn't had for a long time and saw a Viking in front of her.
It was his horny helmet. I'm telling you, that's what it was. It was...
He wanted her to pillage. She wanted him to pillage.
Yes.
So that's why it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I actually enjoyed the whole setting of the rewilding place this week. I liked being there a lot with them because actually it finally made sense, that place, I thought.
Yes.
The fact that they've got that shepherd's hut for the kids and the school trips, and then Kate's doing these classes.
Yes, yes. And it's sounding like a proper thing now rather than just a sort of field that everybody walks around and says, oh, this is nice, well done.
Still a nice job that she can just knock off at 2 p.m. and not have to go back to work. Yeah. As ever, like no one's ever at work except
job.
Kate occasionally.
Yes. Even the farmers are always in the kitchen eating cake.
You say no one does a jot of work unless they're volunteering at the village shop. It's a very advanced till, Justin. I think Susan and Justin are going to get on famously.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, because he'll have all kind of streamlining ideas and she'll love
it. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And if she gets to be the boss of Justin, that'll be good. But no, I really like the rewilder. And I just really loved the joy of Kate this week.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And we suddenly saw
so normal
why people do like her. She was getting on my nerves with Lillian, though, and the bloody vicar. But that's because I'm still furious about the idea that they think that they can just put up stained glass windows to their own family. Which will always annoy me.
But I'd completely forgotten about the stained glass window. And I did sort of think, it's so not interesting now. I hope it doesn't become a thing. But I did quite like her, teasing Alan a bit.
Yeah.
And him being really confused.
Yes.
Yeah, she was just great fun. But then also apparently she does love Nolitando, which also melted my heart a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know she'd had a boyfriend for 3 years. No one tells me anything.
I didn't actually know either. Nolly didn't tell me, but I got it just from this text right now. I saw her Instagram.
Well, I presume it's her. I don't know. It's just a number, but
it looks like my daughter. I'm not 100% sure because I haven't seen her for 3 years.
She's changed her number.
I haven't seen her since she was last in Ambridge. Do you remember when she came to Ambridge and then became a Oh, no, Freddie. That's right. Freddie got her high.
Drugged her and she was standing on the bloody windowsill.
Yeah, and Kate hasn't seen her since then. And that was probably way over 3 years ago.
She did go out there for a while.
Did she?
Yeah.
Did she? Oh, right. Okay. It's been a while, okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so all that sort of, it's just so hard being away. I didn't really
buy it.
Believe. But I liked the fact that her and Kirsty were getting on. I loved the fact that she went to the pub with Alistair and Eric and they got pissed on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
That really, I don't know.
Yeah.
This again, I thought it was another really good writing week.
Yes, me too.
Very natural.
Yeah.
And loads of funny, there were loads of funny little lines, which I didn't even hear until I listened back.
Doing the monologue was weird this week because it was incredibly disjointed because there were so many little tiny vignette that were just kept going all the way through the whole week. There wasn't like one overarching storyline. It was just apart from the
lots of sweet, funny little scenes, weren't there?
Yeah.
Like Pat, because Pat and Adam.
Yeah.
Because I actually, weirdly, I really liked that scene between Pat and Adam.
Really?
Because they get on really well. Didn't you think they had... I mean, I know they're like the two of the most awful people, but I actually felt that together they brought out quite a good side of each other because Adam wasn't being angry and Pat was actually being quite normal. Although, didn't you think she sounded a bit like Princess Anne?
She's getting posher.
She's
getting posher and more maternal. She actually sounded quite maternal with Adam, I think, which was
sounded
weird.
Like Joanna David, Amelia Fox's mum.
Yeah.
Oh, Adam, I'm not even sure. I can't even do it, but there was a sort of like, I don't know, there's something about that scene I found really soothing. And when she
That's
just
why
went...
it drained the life force out of me because it was just like waves breaking on the shore. It was like one of those things you're supposed to listen to send you, create beta waves so that you go to sleep.
It was just like, I think that's why I really enjoyed it.
Like
I didn't really have to listen. I just needed to hear sounds of, Wally. It was like that, wasn't it?
But edible forest, my
arse. Edible forest. I mean, come on, it's just some fruit trees.
It is. It's an orchard. It
is open farm Sunday, but it's open farm Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's what it is, isn't it?
But why was Adam like, oh, Tom, I'm really nervous about today. Why? It doesn't matter.
Why not just say, I've had this brilliant idea. Can I use your...
Yeah, what do you reckon?
Orchard or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, you'll get... If we go 50-50... I think they did it because they need Adam to credibly stay at Bridge Farm.
Yeah.
Because it's so unbelievable that he's still there on £6.50 an hour bringing up Xander. Because Ian doesn't have a job, does he? I mean, Ian's out of work now, isn't he?
Yes.
Didn't he gave up?
Oh, yeah, he's supposed to be doing this bloody pizza store.
Yeah, but nothing's happened with that.
And nobody can go anywhere outside because for those of you that aren't living outside the UK, basically the entire country is a quagmire now until about April the 15th or something. So we're wading knee deep through mud. No one is going to anything in fields at all. So there is no pizza, no festivals, no him going round with his little truck doing farmers markets. Everything's cancelled because it's like living in the middle sodding ages.
And unless Ian is in that van following people, right? Like following Kirsty and Eric so that when they come out of the river, he goes,
ta-da!
Sourdough margarita? And they go, oh! I wish I could do Ian, but maybe he just follows people around. But that's
leaps
the thing.
Out on them.
So there has to be
a reason
for Adam to stay.
Well, my friend Horatia was pissing herself laughing at the edible forest, and just kept messaging me in block capitals afterwards, going, "You had me at edible forest." Such a stupid line. You're right. Oh dear.
Choking on the edible forest. Well, that's the thing. It's just such a funny thing. Can't wait to tell Tash about the edible forest. Edible forest? What? That's who's going to have an issue with it.
I'm not having people tramping round my workplace.
But she's got an edible forest, or she had one in Wales.
Yeah.
Where she made all her fruit drinks from.
Yeah.
You might need to speak a bit.
Oh, dear. You okay? Do you want a drink? Why am I asking
I'm choking on my non-alcoholic gin and tonic.
Why?
Because we're doing Dry January, but not really at the weekends, but I'm doing it tonight. because this weekend is our big weekend away.
Yeah,
so that'll be a lot of drinking. I've really got into non-alcoholic. I work Seedlip. Have you ever had that?
Oh, yes. My friend who's an alcoholic always has that. Because he went skiing and everybody had... all the après ski stuff. He said he felt like such a pillock sitting there with his, you know, Britvic orange and lemonade. Aww. That the woman that ran the chalet thing got him in all these Seedlip things, and he said it was fantastic. Oh, and he felt like everybody else. It was great.
It feels like I don't actually really like. I'm not like massively into spirits anyway, but this is really nice. It feels like you're having a drink. We're not even being. We haven't even been sent.
No.
This.
I don't Although, know. Probably... did you get a parcel today?
Well, that's what I was going to...
Did you get two little envelopes with mini bottles of gin in?
Yes, but I was like, I assumed this must be for the podcast.
I know,
but
there was
nothing
on them.
No, I mean, are we allowed to talk about this?
Yes.
Because
it's Tiger Gin. We got a pink one and a normal one.
My kids, I let them open it because I didn't know what it... I thought it was like late Christmas presents. And they were like, and then they were like, oh, Mummy, you mustn't drink it because it might have poison in it.
Because
I didn't know what it was. And then I said, oh, it's probably for the podcast.
No, I'll find the email and check so that you can reassure them.
Okay. Oh, so did somebody flag that they were coming?
No. But she before Christmas she did. But I didn't realise it was going to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Because in February, I'm going to drink them.
Yeah.
No, because it's very
sweet. I might
drink
mine before February.
Yeah, okay. Anyway. I can't wait to drink the pink one.
I know.
Because that looks really fun.
Quite glamorous.
It does look glamorous. It does.
Oh, while you're having a quick cough and a drag.
Yeah.
People have been messaging about your Christmas dinner when you said that you were fed up with turkey and what else you should have.
Yeah.
We're still going to be talking about Christmas in July, aren't we? The way we're going anyway.
I know.
Steve Parrott said when his children were 7 and 8, he asked them what they wanted for Christmas dinner. They said they wanted pasta and sauces plus apple crumble. Best Christmas dinner ever, he said. And, oh, God. My washing machine is bust, ladies and gentlemen, and has been bust for 10 days, and I'm pulling my hair out. However, I got this email from Terry White.
What's that got to do with Christmas dinner?
Because I got this message from Terry White and immediately...
You forgot.
...felt so sorry that I'd stopped whinging about my... Listen to this.
Oh, no.
My wife and I enjoyed a different Christmas dinner last month. Potato hash. On December the 15th, we experienced a plumbing event in the loft. It took out the bedroom ceiling and saturated the bed, disabled the shower and upstairs lighting. Since then, and for the foreseeable future, until Direct Line get their asses into gear, we are sleeping in armchairs downstairs.
Oh, no.
No running water because the emergency plumber's repair still left a dribbly leak on the landing. We're flushing the toilet with buckets of water supplied by next door neighbours from their garden standpipe, and we're drinking bottled water supplied by our daughter. The dining room is full of bin bags of clothes and other rescued stuff, and the living room, where we're sleeping, isn't dining table size, and roast gammon and all the trimmings for son, daughter, two grandsons and grandson's girlfriend isn't really practical, sat among the sofa duvets or on the floor. Hence the potato hash. 10 minutes prep and into the slow cooker. To be fair to Direct Line, they've supplied 3 industrial dehumidifiers needed make the house fit enough to repair. They're not quiet. All in all, more drama than any 2 episodes of The Archers.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah, I know what it's like to live with dehumidifiers and big flooding. It was when I first met Rufus and I immediately went on a theatre tour, so I didn't really live, the experience. But every time I came back to say hello, the dehumidifiers are so loud.
Yeah.
And horrible, and then you go down where it's all horrible and flooded. Oh, and it's just like feels like
everything feels
world.
Dirty and grimy,
yes, exactly.
And cold all the time.
Oh, poor thing.
I know.
That is what a shit.
So I hurriedly shut up about my
Well, it's still annoying. Everything's relative, Lucy. I mean, you know, not having a washing machine is also a bit of a nightmare.
Yes.
But at least you got your Christmas dinner.
Yes.
But actually, potato hash sounds really nice.
I know.
Did it have bacon in it?
I was thinking about corned beef hash.
Oh, yeah. I love stuff. I love that sort of like rusty type stuff.
Yeah.
And actually, Imi on Instagram, I think it's Imi or Ime, this is an awesome Christmas dinner. Because her mum's Polish and she spent a lot of time in the French Alps, they had raclette.
Oh!
Instead of Christmas dinner. And I love raclette.
I love raclette. That's really nice though, because it's communal and you can all
sort
of... Yes,
exactly. Yeah. You have all the bit. That's the thing about Christmas dinner, isn't it? Because it has to have all different bits. Because you can have cornichons and hams and the potatoes and... Ooh. Oh my God, and that cheese is so nice.
Yeah.
So that is... And also, because that's quite... Feels quite wintry, that dish, doesn't it?
Yes.
That's an excellent one. And Rowan also got in touch on Instagram. And their dad is... Rowan's dad is a curry chef. So they had a curry banquet.
Ooh.
Three curries, rice, naan, bread, samosas and onion bhajis. Followed after a suitable pause by vegan Bakewell pudding with ice cream.
Mm.
I'd prefer to have your Christmas pudding. Because I don't really love Bakewell pudding, but I could see how that would work.
I love
but
Bakewell.
But the curry,
ooh,
do you?
And curry,
oh,
yeah.
I don't really like, Rufus ooh. Loves Bakewell stuff, but I don't like that. It's like, what is it, that taste?
Almond, marzipan.
Yeah, marzipan, that's it. That's what I don't like. Mm. But to have a curry for Christmas is a brilliant idea.
It is.
We always have the curry after the turkey.
Mm.
But to have a proper
with
curry.
Sprouts in it.
Cooked by your dad, who's a chef.
Perfect.
Perfect. Anyway, so thank you for those. Food for thought, Lucy. Food for thought.
Funny you should mention that, Harriet.
Did Tom call Adam a blaggard this week? Or did I really mishear that? I didn't recover
from Ben calling Jill Foxy, which baffled me.
Oh, my God. When they were making up. Oh, as in he meant... like cunning, did he?
I don't know.
He said, no, he could, what did he say?
He said something really weird, like, glad to have you back, Foxy, or something like that.
No,
it
he
wasn't,
didn't.
He did. It wasn't just me that heard it, because the whole of Twitter went, huh?
He can't have called
he
her
did.
Foxy.
He did.
Wow.
Isn't that
weird? I'm going to listen to that episode
again.
I'm going
to Google, did Ben call Jill Foxy?
Oh, you'll get all sorts of nasty stuff will come up, Lucy. Sorts of Foxy Jill will come up.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And when Adam was like, oh, you were teasing me, Tom, and he was like, you had me at Edible Garden, then I'm sure one of them said, oh, you blaggard. But I'm going to have to listen back, aren't I? Just to confirm that happened. No, there were some really funny lines, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. I don't know what's happened to the writing. It's like something's changed.
Yeah.
Sheila's gone. Maybe that's it.
I think that's it. And there's not a lot of Alan. And also because having a new character who's good fun always freshens things up.
Yeah.
freshen things up. Did you think that when you first came in, I was like, oh, it's Julian Rhind-Tutt again?
Yes, yes, I did. Yes,
because he got
he really sounds like him, and slightly estuary English.
But yeah. He actually sounds like quite a lot of Radio 4 actors,
yeah,
doesn't he? Because there's another guy,
and not at all like Jakob.
Nothing like Jakob.
Nothing like Jakob.
Because if they look very much,
I think this is like Martin Guerre. He's nothing to do with Jakob at all.
But I was thinking that. Yeah. I was wondering
how
if, like,
do we know
he's not the brother.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's actually the although they
the
look
the ne'er do well cousin or something like that. Yes,
yes, yes. Exactly. He's got that sound as well, yeah. Hasn't he? Well, he's basically like a Willoughby character.
He's someone that you would
that all the girls fall in love with. And
yes,
and
then
enjoy
go and marry
Mr. Knightley
instead because he's a nightmare.
But that's the thing. So I because
are you before, swizzling your gin and tonic?
Yeah. Do you like the sound?
No.
Do you not? Why? Doesn't it sound nice?
Sounds like you're ringing bells or something.
Oh, I'm doing a duet with Ardil.
Okay.
Oh, la 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 la.
You sound like a proper bell Ardil.
Bell.
Like a right bell.
Oh yeah. So before him and Kirsty got it on, I was thinking, oh well, he's clearly going to sleep with Kate, and he's going to be a blackguard and cause all sorts of upset.
So you're blackguard, yes.
But if Kirsty has and him have are going to have a little fling, and then are we then led to believe that him and Kate are going to have a little fling? But they can't really do that to Kirsty again. I was thinking.
Because they can't inflict anything else on Kirsty. They just can't.
So have they just brought him in to be her boyfriend, perhaps?
Well, I hope so.
But then why would you set it up so that Jakob's not there and that Kate and him get on so well? There has to be, or is it just that Kate's going to get jealous? I don't know. There has to be some reason that there was a bit of chemistry between Kate and Jakob.
And also, and what Jakob kept saying about Eric, oh, he's a nightmare, unspecified nightmare, didn't say how.
Yes.
And then when he jumped straight into the river, when Krusty said, do not jump straight into the river, blah, blah, blah. I wondered if he's gonna be super attractive and everybody's going to go for him and he's going to be really glamorous. And then he's going to prove himself to be a little bit of a nightmare. So he is a bit of a Willoughby and then Jakob said, I knew that you'd all fall for him. Everybody does. My parents always liked him more than me because he was the fun one. But actually he's, you know, unpredictable and everything else. So, and then I think he'll disappear again, but I think it's enough to, it's basically giving Kirsty a sort of a hard reset in that she's getting back in the saddle, such shall we say. And
hard reset. So, hi Tom, look at me now. Want to see my edible forest? It's on show for the world to see.
Oh, somebody messaged about that.
About Kirsty's edible
forest. Yes, this is Claire Everett.
Do you mind if I just crunch on a nut?
No, carry on. Seems highly appropriate.
Exactly.
A, has Krusty not eaten half a kilo of Quality Street on a daily basis over Christmas like the rest of us and therefore needs a few months before swimming cozy ready? B,
when did she shave her legs?
B, is she a serious rewilder? Will personal deforestation be occurring? C, was it naked yoga? Eric is giving me Michael Ball vibes. The voice is familiar. I need to investigate.
That's so funny. If he ends up looking like Michael Ball, I just... a naked Michael Ball in the river just wasn't what I was picturing.
No! Actually, the actor's quite hot. Have you seen the picture of him?
Yeah, I did look him up. Of course I looked him up.
Yes.
Yes, he is quite hot. He's a bit older than I would have liked.
Oh, really? That's because you're so very, very young.
Very, very young. But Kirsty's quite young, but he looked like... Unless I was looking at the wrong guy. 50s? 50s?
Yeah.
But then he's Jakob's younger brother, isn't he? Or is he the older brother? I can't remember now. Yeah. I think he said
he's the younger,
Yeah. But, I mean, and he doesn't sound young. I mean, he sounds like he's in his late 40s, 50s, doesn't he?
Oh, James. Oh, yeah. Everett, the Pip Archer fan club founder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Claire says, is at great pains to let you know that he thinks Kirsty is going to be murdered. Even by Kirsty's standards, that would be dramatic.
Well, her blood-curdling scream when Eric went into the river is almost worth her being murdered, so we hear it again.
She can't do anything without screaming. Oh, dear, that bodes. It's a good job everyone's away out of the house, isn't it?
But when she did it, I was like, oh, my God, he actually is going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is inform and educate and, the dangers of wild swimming in winter.
Yeah.
Because it was such a good scream.
Yeah. Well, she's a good screamer. She is. She's got form, isn't she?
Yeah, I know. That's what Eric said.
No, that's why she said to him, the house is empty. Because she knows. She's a bit noisy, a bit loud.
She's loud. Mm. Roy has to be out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless she puts her washing machine on. But if she's like you and, a high scream could probably be heard.
Katie Powell Anderson has just put as a subject, who the bloody hell is Maureen? And then as the body of her email, that's all. Yes, Maureen exists. Purely to have a bad back.
Like the...
It is the absence of Maureen that we're interested in, not Maureen.
Because it couldn't have been anyone else. It couldn't have been Hilary Noakes or Tilly Button or anyone else. So they had to bring in a new character to have a bad back, which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
You can just picture Maureen and how Susan and her might get on each other's nettle.
Yeah.
It was funny about Joy, wasn't it? And Susan being so horrible about
her. Yeah.
Because actually, I was really feeling very defensive of Joy because I thought she was so funny, all that sort of men's pants and all that.
1987.
Why? I didn't know if that was a sort of why front thing. Anyway, but then it made sense when Susan said she's got a nervous energy because I guess if you don't know Joy that well.
Yeah.
And they probably don't know each other, right? You would find, maybe you'd find Joy a bit try hard or a bit nervous chatty. You know, if you don't know someone that well and they are a bit, people like that can annoy you a bit, can't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we love her because we know her so well.
Well, also she's like Susan, but without the cattiness.
Yeah.
She's what Susan thinks she is, but knows she isn't because Susan just can't do it. Because she can't let her natural chippiness and her natural envy and her natural kind of social anxiety get in the way. Whereas Joy doesn't have any of that. She doesn't begrudge anybody anything because it just never occurs to her to.
They're on a very different wavelength, aren't they, I guess.
But there's things in common. And, Susan is aware that she winds people up. And she's aware that Joy doesn't, so she's sort of envious of that, I think.
Yeah, they're just not the same, and they're not the same energies.
Yeah.
Whereas Joy and Jim probably would get on very well, actually.
I think Joy gets on well with most people.
Yeah. I'd have her in the shop. She's, so much more clearly a candidate than Justin should be.
Did you, because it reminded, when Susan was saying things to... Justin about the shop. We have some difficult customers, don't we, Jim? Yes, difficult customers. Some of them are always moaning, aren't they, Jim? Yes, always moaning. I thought this is either Mavis and Norris in the shop, or it's Waiting for Godot. I couldn't quite decide, but that was what it was like. It was just this echo call and response with him obviously just peed off and whispering, wishing she'd shut up. And,
they are. They're just like, just like that, the corner shop in Corrie.
Yeah.
And they're such a good partnership in that way, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're so funny together. And Jim, when he said, I just can't see myself organising a stripper. It was really funny. Him and Jazza, Jazza was so sweet, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And just so sort of, that scene, there was a real humanity to this week, or real sort of genuineness.
Yes.
Poor old Coops. Do you need to let him in, or does he want to go out?
He wants to come in. If I let him in, I'm going to have to shuffle over in these.
Why don't you go
bags
on your hands and knees? Can you do that? Can you crawl over?
No, you'd love that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, no.
The mental image of me squishing over the... Right,
slide over. Slide over.
The noise of a piano falling downstairs, I mean, it's me falling over. Hang on a second. Oh,
get. Oh, is that you or Cooper? It's hard to tell. Oh, are you still there? I've got images of freezer bags on Lucy's feet with those nibbly fish in. Because I think that's another way you can get all the dry bits off your skin, is put your feet in a bucket of nibbly fish. That's what people pay a lot of money for, that in spas, don't they? Hello, caller. Hello. Nobody there. Anyway, hi everybody. I'm Harriet Carmichael. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch.
I can hear you.
Yeah, it's just me tonight, guys. Sorry, Lucy is up to her ears in water. So I'll be doing the monologue this week. I'll tell you what, I'm not a scrap that. I'm going to do a magic trick instead. Lucy, come back. I can't.
Why don't you just open a bottle of fizzy drink and spray it everywhere? That's what you normally do.
Oh, well, even that's not sounding very good, actually. It's because I'm actually in a room. I'm not in my studio.
In the loo.
So you don't get a very good good sound there, do you?
Oh, Helen Sherwood. Thank you for filling then, by the way.
Thank you.
Helen Sherwood said, Ian Macy. And I don't think she means Ian Macy. I think she means Adam Macy. So that's what he looks like, she said. Episode 8 of Father Brown. She looked him up and said, oh, that's what he's looked like. Curious mention of Matt in tonight's episode.
Yes.
That never happens.
No.
So I can only suspect that he's going to turn up and stir things up a bit.
I thought they were very... throw away with their laughing about the fact that he had to flee the country. I mean, at the time, it was pretty traumatic for Lillian.
About yeah, exactly. £8 billion, yes.
Darling, I know. What a cad. At least he's not like Matt. Yeah, bloody good times.
Right, Karen Gray says...
Can you hear me crunching?
Yes.
Sorry.
That's fine. She says, Jazza and Tracy, I know neither of you are entirely happy about this, so do forgive me. But don't forget, this is Jazza and Tracy, not Lizzie and Vince. They're perfectly capable of cobbling something together cheaply. And have you forgotten you were the one saying the Horribins needed a break a few months ago? I think we can... Yes, of course we forget what we've said, Karen. We don't listen to ourselves. I think we can have a bit of fun with the planning. Goodness knows we all need some of that at the minute. Our best man and his wife got married 30 years ago in a sports hall with long trestle tables covered in white cloths, and it looked stunning. It was the cheapest wedding I've ever been to, and the best, because everyone was there not to show off, but to celebrate two people being happy.
Was there enough booze, though? Let's be honest. Were the chairs tiny? Was it like when you go to a wedding and they've only got children's
yes,
chairs?
And it's like you're having a smear test because your knees are up under your chin. Tracy and Susan, again, I have to side with Tracy. She was literally about to tell Susan when the news leaked out. Of course, Tracy wanted to tell her in person. She'd gone to the shop for that purpose. So I'm glad Susan stopped being miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm completely bored with my argument as to why they shouldn't get married. Bring it on, I say. Bring it on. Yeah, I'm over it.
And she said her daughter is in her third year of nursing, and she decided to take a break until September as she's had a lot of stress. Nursing is not something you do when under par.
No.
And they had to do uni while COVID was on, so most of them have had a miserable uni experience.
Oh, God. Well, I just say thank you for blimming sticking it out.
Yeah,
because that is super impressive, especially with everything that's going on.
Yeah.
So I salute her.
She also said she was talking about the Ben mental health story and how sort of unlikely the whole diagnosis, treatment, cure was, you know, in the space of a fortnight. She said her brother had a psychotic episode. Sorry, it's quite late now. And was in hospital for 6 weeks. They'd tried for 3 days to get him a doctor's appointment, called an ambulance, he persuaded the ambulance team that they were trying to control him.
Oh, no.
He was very convincing, so they went away. No. We called them again, and he threatened to protect himself from my other brother with a knife.
Oh, my God.
He agreed to go to hospital without us, but he was left in A&E by himself 20 minutes later, terrified because he thought the cleaner was looking at him oddly. He absconded. Oh, no. Can you imagine a heart attack patient being allowed to walk out?
Oh, my God.
2 hours of sheer panic when we feared the worst. He then walked two miles through London at midnight and arrived home. My other brother spent the night colluding with his plan to escape and was persuaded to go to a doctor's. Midway there, he jumped in the back of a police car claiming sanctuary, which led to them detaining him.
Oh, my God.
It still took us hours to convince the doctors he needed urgent help. That's the...
Wow.
That's the worst thing.
I'm not sure Joy would have dealt with that that well.
Probably a bit above her pay grade.
What? Hang on.
I'm volunteer at the shop and I'm a mental health specialist. I think it's that level of, obviously the mental health patient is the person that is least... least appropriate to diagnose and refer themselves and also recognize what help is when it's being offered, recognize that it's not a conspiracy. You hear people saying things like, you're all trying to stop me because you don't want me to be happy, you don't know, I know what's really going on and you don't. They won't take pills because they think somehow it's stopping them being there natural self, and they don't realize that what they are then is not their natural self. And
it was kind of a super scary,
a really brave stab by the Archers at showing a psychotic episode. I think it was really good, but I do think they getting it all done and dusted in a fortnight again,
don't know, but I mean it's probably, I suppose it's a bit like Lizzie's depression. It only lasted a few weeks, didn't it?
I know.
Never came back.
But like her brother was in hospital for 6 weeks, because he was seeing things and everything else, like Ben was, delusional.
Yeah. But I mean, I think the Ben mental health story hasn't gone away.
No.
But maybe we'll just be hearing a few more of those Zoom calls.
Good.
What's her name? Arlette. What was her name? I can't remember. Oh, I feel bad. I feel bad for her that we've already forgotten her. Oh, how annoying. If that's your big chance.
Did you hear me?
I was on the Archers. That'll be me. I'll just come in as Maureen for 30 seconds.
Going, ow, me back.
Oh, me back. Oh, thank you, Susan. Bye. Bye.
I loved it when Susan said suspiciously to Jim, what were you making her do in the stockroom?
Bend over.
Flat on her back on top of a box of just book scratchings or something.
Would you, when you're visiting your estranged brother or sister, would you pack a smart speaker for them?
No.
What a strange.
I would take a bottle of gin,
booze,
and
or some flowers. Or
chocks. And then say if they mention, I'd really like one of those blooders, I'd get it for them and have it delivered after I'd left, so they couldn't say, oh no, that's too much money.
Yeah, because you
but
might
not
you
take one with me on the off chance that they haven't got one.
I just assume he must have been given one for Christmas or got it really cheap,
nicked
from
it
the Amazon sale,
or bought it duty free at the airport.
Maybe. Yeah, just a. Bit of an odd thing. But anyway, fair dues. Fair dues. Alexa. Sorry.
This is Marie from Winchester
Alexa,
in Hampshire, not Kentucky, she says.
Winchester, bigging up the Winchester, Lucy. That's near where I grew up.
That's not how they talk,
a lot
is
of,
it?
That was our town. That was our town where we used to go on Friday nights.
Was that the bright lights and metropolitan...
Winchester. Yeah, you get all sorts there because there's like a college.
Some people have their collars up, some people have them down. I mean, it's just amazing.
There's like probably Richie Sunak was probably hanging out in the square when we were there.
Oh, he was anyway. Your diversity.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think he's a tad younger than me.
Surely
but
not.
I'm not 100% sure on that. No, Winnie's a lovely place. Big up
the Winnies. Marie says, yes. I thought in the first show, she hasn't been listening to us for very long. She said, I thought in the first show of the new
Thank
year
you for
that Harriet
on.
had adopted a high-pitched giggle, which reminded me of many a Carry-On film. I then realised that I was listening on 1.5 speed.
Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I accidentally listen on a 1.5 and you're like,
oh, they sound lively.
They're so excited. Oh, that's so funny.
My favourite thing was Yokel
How
Bear.
How annoying listening to us on 1.5.
Because we're neither of us are exactly slow, are we? Yokel Bear once listened to us all the way around the supermarket and then realised he'd not got his headphones plugged in. So everybody in the supermarket was listening to us.
Oh, no.
And him chortling away and everything.
Oh, my God. It's awful. Oh, that's my worst nightmare. It happens on the tube sometimes. When I used to
get
plug in.
I completely paranoid that I have.
Oh, me too. Because I remember, like, it was the early days of sort of listening to stuff on the tube. And I think I was listening to Les Miserables or something on the tube. And it was just going, one day more, another day. And I was like, oh, my God. And you stop it. Sorry, guys, sorry. And then you panic and you had to stop it. Another day, another destiny.
And you're hitting every button.
Oh, volume. So awful.
Now, this is Marie's... prediction. As you know, she has had nothing but bad experiences with men, and she's obviously bitter.
Who? Anne-Marie?
No, Kirsty. Sorry. And she's obviously bitter. I don't know what Marie's experiences have been like. You'll have to ask her.
Into that, you know, that Marianne Keyes podcast.
Oh, yes.
Well, now, what's your problem, Marie? I love that. Actually, I love that podcast.
She's obviously bitter, if not slightly twisted. She has lured Eric to meet her at a secluded spot in nothing more than his waterproof undercrackers. If I were him, I would be scared. I think she may be planning revenge on mankind, starting with her first victim in very cold water. It cannot turn out well. I also think that Lillian and Jenny's away trip away will end up in disaster for Jenny.
Oh, no.
Now, lots of people have said that.
No.
And I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer, but I do think that there might... be
you
something
think there's
in
significance
that.
In that trip?
Yeah, if you look at the, because people were posting the you know, the little synopses they do for next week.
Oh my God, what did
and
it say?
And it sort of said dramatic happenings in London, blah blah blah.
Oh my
so
God!
So everyone was going, oh, unless... God, is it Jenny or is it Rory? Do they find out what's happened about Rory?
And that's the thing is, I hope
I don't
the
think
latter.
They can have a Rory denouement without involving Jenny though.
But do we know for a fact that Jenny's not coming back?
We don't know for a fact, but...
Yeah. Well, I really, really hope it's a Rory situation.
Yes.
But we will see.
Yeah. So he's back at uni now, isn't he? Or wherever it is he's pretending to do while
I
he's
guess
not at
so.
Uni.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't... Yeah. I mean, I don't... Would they end Jenny in London?
Offer.
I don't know.
Under the wheels of a hackney cab or something.
Yeah, exactly. It seems a bit odd that that would happen. It would more like...
The Tower of London fell on
or, you know, maybe... Yeah.
Well, that would just confirm all their you know, their fear about leaving, going over the bypass, won't it? Don't you go there. Look, happened to her.
London.
Yeah, that London she got off.
Where have they got all their cash from that they're suddenly being very generous at Christmas?
I know. I thought that was odd.
Yeah.
It's just all sounding a little bit goodbye-y and reminiscency, isn't it?
Okay.
When Brian was talking about Jenny
did
Christmas.
Yeah, she's been mentioned
a
lot lately.
And also the house and home farm and remembering Jenny and home farm and all that stuff.
I don't want that to happen.
No.
I just won't listen to that episode.
Okay,
you can
tell I'll
tell
you what
it
happens. I'll just go. Yeah, I'll do it in a very brutal, ripping the plaster off way. But at least you won't have to listen to it. It'll be
and luckily, because as I told everyone on Twitter, I never see any Archer's tweets now because I was on the wrong thing. I was on the For You, so I didn't see. I just thought, I just assumed.
Where's everybody gone?
I thought they'd all gone to that other Twitter place. You know that I can't remember what it's called. You know when Elon Musk bought Twitter and everyone went to another place, and I was like, this is such a shame because no one tweets about the Archers anymore.
They do, just not to you.
And turned out they were all tweeting about it. Just I couldn't. I was blind to it for weeks. Anyway, I know what to do now.
Well done.
Thanks.
We've had an email from Marianne as well, who says,
"Oh, hi, Marianne. Marianne Keyes from the other podcast, Lucy."
He said, she
What's
said,
in the post bag, Lucy?
My dad listened
I
to the
Archers. I wouldn't shag him, actually. Sorry. I love that podcast.
My dad listened to the Archers all through our childhood, using the time to wash up after tea or dinner. And if we weren't clever enough to be doing something else, we'd have to help, but in silence. As dementia has taken hold, he stopped listening and understanding. It was about the time of the Helen Robb storyline that just... but myself and middle sister came back to Ambridge in our middle age. I'm not sure when I came back, but I do remember John Archer dying, and I have an Abby who's a little bit older than Abby Tucker. Listening to you during COVID isolation made me feel close to Liz, middle sister, as I'd recommended your podcast and knew that she'd be listening and laughing along too. So a big thank you for this. I had so much information for admiration for Mr. Newby and the dedication that he gave to getting into the Archers. He sounds like a keeper. I am the eldest of three sisters and just a few months younger than Lucy. I did listen with horror about the pig husbandry course that Lucy has been given for her 50th, as I would much rather have a posh water butt and a trip to the spa. I'm not sure those two are linked, a posh, because a spa is basically a posh water butt. But anyway, and was also often the narrator, but I once got to play Joseph at Brownies. Luckily, my husband is very Nordic looking, so our blonde girls have always been cast as angels. My eldest was even Mary at nursery. She was so protective of Jesus that she wouldn't let Joseph hold the doll in case he dropped him. Right. No.
And
right.
My husband's name is Eric.
That's what I was thinking. And she said she plans her Sundays around listening to our latest episode.
Oh, my God. So nice,
isn't it?
That is lovely. That what a lovely email.
Yes,
thank you. That's really brightened my heart.
And she also told me
thank
a rude...
you so much for that email. Right, Marianne, they sound the same, Marianne. Yes. And the other one, I can't remember what the podcast is called now, but it's very good.
She also told me a rude story that I can't say because it's too rude.
Really?
About you mentioned going to the hotel with Rufus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
that's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Are you braced?
Well, we're both a bit tired, so we'll probably just watch telly. Have an early night.
No,
of course not. No, I can't wait. It's going to be really fun. Between ourselves. Now you're asking. That's the podcast. Now you're asking.
What's Marianne that now, Keyes Father? And
Marianne Keyes and Tara Flynn on BBC Sounds. It's very good. Mm. Anyway, sorry, I'm obsessed with them. Go on. Sorry, yes, I'm going to a hotel, yes. I can't wait. where did we get to?
That's it. I think we finished
the dirty story that you can't tell.
Yes.
Oh, no, well, what's the point of...
Well, basically, it was...
Does it say you're not allowed to say?
No, because it's very rude, but basically they had got an evening... It wasn't her, it was her friend. They'd got an evening planned and they... cut short what they were doing earlier to make it extra special later, if you see what I mean. And then the husband overdid it on the Baileys and had to go back to the room on his own to vomit. So there was no consummation of their lovely, exciting
exactly.
romantic
and that's
weekend.
Why you have yes. to always get it out. I mean, do it before.
Yes.
Before
you enjoy yourself.
Before you can relax and enjoy yourselves, do the deed. Everybody's happy and fulfilled. Then go up. Then go crazy.
Yes. Right. And now, talking of going crazy, let's go over to Radio Borsetshire, where Febreze has been awarded an honour.
Oh my gosh. Mm.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, do you know about car? I am concerned about woohoo. It make funny noise. It is going tickety-tickety sometime. From the wheel, I think. It's hard to tell because normally I cannot hear over Mariah Carey. When does it do it? Wednesday? Oh, I see. No, when I go round bend. No, not now. Obviously, it is parking disabled bay because I have athlete's footsie. Oh, now? Oh, Hello, hello. This is me, Fabrice of Ferbersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. I have exciting news for you today. I am now Ambassador. I think you have to call me Mr. Ambassador or Your Excellent, which is lovely, but a bit embarrassed. So I stick with Fabrice. Unless I can introduce Your Fabulousness, but I think this take a long time going up diplomatic channel. Anyway, because of my celebrity status, I have been made Ambassador for Eurovisia. Yes! My house has been made the diplomatic residence, so I have a flag of Eurovisia flying outside. I do not have a flagpole yet, so at the moment it is flap on washing line. So, in my new role of Ambassador and Fabulousness, I am going to give you a sample of my voiceover for new promotional video for Eurovisia. I just get the script. I did not write this, the Eurovision Eye Commissioning Marketing Department did. Nice man called Sandro. Thinking about a holiday this year, why not visit Eurovisia? It is easy to get to from any UK airport if you have access to helicopter and a donkey. Or sail into one of our three ports, Minge, Kras or Dolop. Underground trains operate from our ports, but beware, they also double as our sewage outlets. So remember, keep those windows up. Why not visit our famous historic capital city, Kerplunk? Scene of many entirely pointless battles, you can walk what is left of the castle walls and see where the brave Kerplunkers filed boiling Halavashnika at our invaders. It may seem like a waste of Halavashnika, but if you have ever tasted it, you will know why they did it. Kerplunk was built in 13th century, then knocked down by the Macedonians, then rebuilt and burned down by the Crusaders, then rebuilt and knocked down again in the Great Planning Accident of 1956. It is a very history city. We are the largest manufacturer of scaffolding in Europe, but we use most of it ourselves. The rainy season in Eurovisia is from the first Wednesday to Thursday in July, when the old country's infrastructure collapses, so that is always an adventure. The best times to go are May and October, when Eurovisia enjoys just 93% humidity. So if you have ever wanted an afro, now is your chance. Visitors in late summer have the chance to see the famous snit harvest, when all the snits are brought in from the fields, shaved and boiled. Then there is big festival with sing and dance and shootings. It is very exciting. If you are lucky enough to be in Eurovisia in November, then you can witness the day of beheading postmen. Try not to wear navy blue and definitely not epaulettes, or that could end badly. So, why not visit Eurovisia? All the romance of Splot combined with the cuisine of Kosovo and the warmth and friendliness of Paris. What is to like? What is not to like? I think that is good, isn't it? I would go to Eurovisia if I heard that. I wouldn't go, because it is huge dump, and that is why I am here. But anyway, I will leave you now, as I need to over the embassy. Bye!
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Fabrice. Now, this bit is you, Miss Carmichael.
Oh, okay. I've got a nut in my mouth. Okay. If you would like to visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level. Our next Patreon Zoomathon is on the 21st.
Who are you doing
February.
Now? Who is this? Is this Maureen?
Yeah, this is Maureen. Okay. Ooh, me back. And is nearish to Valentine's Day. That wasn't my mistake.
Is nearish. And as And it's
okay. Yeah. You read it because you wrote it, so you know what it's supposed to say.
No. Just ignore it. Carry on.
Okay. Our next Patreon Zoomathon is on the 21st of February. Put that in your diaries. And because it's nearish to Valentine's Day, we would like you to submit by the 14th of February a love poem about a character in The Archers. So it can be a limerick or a Roses Are Red poem. But not anything longer than that, because life is short. So basically, write a short poem, yes. i.e. a limerick or Roses Are Red, Violets Are Blue,
and send
about
it to
a character.
ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
Send it to ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com, and the judge of the poems will be Kerry Davis. And the winner will receive... Oh my God, I can't believe this, Liz. It's so generous. A limited edition Ambridge on the Couch mug. Yet to be designed. So limited. There's only one. And Lucy's got it. And that's true, actually. But that was a prototype.
Yes.
You'll get a better one. There'll be a better one coming. It is coming. I've nearly done it, Lucy.
Have you?
Yeah. Mm. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at On Ambridge. On Twitter. Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com. Okay, so basically put in your diary, if you're a Patreon, or please join the Patreons, then you in the diary put 21st of February Zoom thingy.
Yes.
It'll be UK evening time.
Yeah.
And please submit your poem, if you would like to submit a poem, by the 14th of February, and it will be judged by Kerry Davis.
And we may be able to get somebody, a famous,
that's a surprise,
to read it
Lucy.
Out.
Surprise. That's
yeah.
a surprise.
Okay.
Yes, there's going to be some surprises Ooh. In the Zoomathon, Lucy.
Not anymore, because I've just blown them. Blown them like Kirsty. No, never mind. And now over to Matt Rodriguez Payne, who this week is playing tribute to the hospitality industry in Ambridge, from the polished chaos of Grey Grables to the well-meaning amateur. Oh my God. Through the well-meaning amateurishness
like well.
Of Lower
we
Loxley.
We haven't even had proper gin
I know.
Yet.
Of Lower Loxley to the frank hostility of the bull. Over to you, Matt. Right. You're going to go, I don't know what this is, but anyway.
That was a long-winded right. way of just playing the music.
I know. Ready?
Yeah.
You won't know what it is, but anyway, here we go. You know what it was?
It did remind me of something, but
something
I was just...
Something with John Cleese in it?
I don't know what it was.
It was Fawlty Towers.
Oh, so I have heard it.
Yes.
Because I've seen that.
Kenton and Jolene as Basil and Sybil Fawlty. Or indeed, Susan and Jimus as Basil and Sybil Fawlty in the shop.
Oh, yes. They'd be brilliant at that.
Even Fallon and Emma as Basil and Sybil Fawlty at the tea rooms.
Of course.
Yes.
Anyway, that sounded... But to me, it was more like a sort of Jane Austen parlour.
Yes, it did sound a bit Elizabethan. Not yeah. Elizabethan, obviously, that's not Jane Austen, but that sort of
no,
a minuet
I was thinking
of
Lizzie.
Sort of thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Do you remember we did our Jane Austen?
We did. That
Archers.
Was our first one that we did.
Oh, it was so good. We should resurrect it.
Oh my God, I don't want to listen to it again because of the editing.
Actually,
it was me doing it. So.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. But yeah, maybe it just needs a bit of tightening here.
Yes.
Here and there, but it was a really good script. Oh, why don't we just do it again?
It was just a lot of jokes about Elizabeth going, I do love balls. That was mostly it, I think.
There was a lot of Kate, I seem to remember, as well. And a lot of Jakob Hackinson, wasn't there? Jakob Hackinson was the... Oh, well,
Mr. Darcy.
Can we do it again? I think we should resurrect that one, because it gives you a week off writing. And it's very funny, and people have forgotten, I've forgotten.
And then we can get Jeff to edit it, because he'll like that.
He could put Matt's music in at the background.
Yes.
And if Matt doesn't mind... And okay. I look, because I love the period archers. Maybe once every 28 days we should do a period archers.
And all get really, really grumpy the week before.
Well, yes, obviously, because you'll have to write it.
Right, we Great. Will now go. I will take yes. these ridiculous sock things off because Ooh, they're I'm starting luck. To feel quite weird about Queasy. Them now.
And yeah. also, make sure you take a photo of the after.
Mm. Maybe you just you can see the before.
Well, you can mock one up of the before.
Okay, I'll just
put some Wotsits on your feet for the before.
No, I'll just find a still from The Hobbit and use that, honestly. Yeah. And I will play us out with Aww. Faulty Archers. Courtesy of Matt Rodriguez Payne. And we'll good. See you all next week. Love you all.
Ta-ra!
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.